053 The Bride, presented by Dharma on the 29th of July 2012.
Thank you, Pastor, for the word you gave us. Basically, it's more what I have to talk about today. If we can turn our Bibles in those two verses that you see on the screen. Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to talk about the bride. Isaiah chapter 14. From verse 12 to verse 17. In my Bible is written, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heath of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, 'Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners?'" Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 11. In my Bible is written, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angel fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death.'" Amen, amen. Now you can see, before even we start talking, some of the stuff that have been already said here. For sure, the Lord is in the house. He is in our midst. His Spirit can confirm things to us. And that gives us joy to know that what we are receiving here is not just preaching. It's not just sermons that sounds good, but it's something that the Lord takes seriously, something from his own heart. Before choosing these verses, I was battling in my heart to decide whether or not I have to use the verse that says, "We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free." Yeah. But there was no need, because it has been well covered here. Toward the end of this message, I shall come back on Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 17. But briefly, what is all about here, the message that the Lord has put on my heart to share with all of us, it's about us to be prepared, to be one with Christ. Soon, he will come to take his bride. But don't be shocked when I say that it's not everybody who did the prayer to invite Jesus in his life who will be saved. Because there is a journey to take. Those who are not taking it seriously, when the time will come, they will be like those fools, virgins, whose lamp lacked petrol, oil. As we heard, you cannot just go and be numbered among athletes and expect to win without proper preparation. Amen. Somebody said that success is when preparation meets with the opportunity. Yeah. Then you can talk about success. Yeah. Those competing today, the opportunity has been given to them to compete. But if the preparation was not good, they are not seeing success. And they will not see success. But those who prepare themselves, they can see success. In the same way, asking Jesus to come into your life and then cross your hands is not good enough. Pauline said that now we want to praise the Lord, not to sound good to ourselves, but to sing unto him. Amen. It means a lot. It speaks volume. The last song we sang here was, in fact, a prayer. To some, it will do wonders. Because they took it seriously. They didn't sing for the sake of singing, but they were pouring their hearts before the Lord. And to others, it's nothing. Jesus, take me as I am, but my heart is not there when I'm saying, Jesus, take me as I am. Like saying, Jesus, come, enter into my life. I want to live only for you. But I don't really, really mean that prayer. I don't mean that song. It's empty. It's empty. So I cannot count myself among the bride of Christ. The time is approaching, we must prepare ourselves. For 7 years, athletes in England were preparing themselves. And the country was also making preparations because the challenge was so high for the country. China rose the bar so high, and this country had to do something special because the country knew that the world will be watching. The preparation was done for 7 years. And many British people are happy today to see what they saw. And the song that is current for the moment is Proud to be British. Because the preparation was well done. Here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 8, the Bible says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Then the angel said to me, 'Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" I want to highlight one thing here. His bride has made herself ready. Accepting Jesus is not good enough. You have to prepare yourself and make yourself ready. He gives us freely that gift of salvation. But what we do with it? What really do we do with it? Do we take that gift seriously? Or we just take it for granted? How far are we in our preparation? Because soon, the day we've been waiting will be there. We'll be united with him. It will be the wedding. It will be the wedding. Where are we standing in our preparation? We have a responsibility. His bride, the bride of Christ, has made herself ready. God has done what he has to do by sending Jesus, and Jesus died upon the cross like a criminal. His blood was shed for me and you to be able to get his forgiveness, to be cleansed. No matter how our sins were, the blood of Jesus is so powerful to cleanse us, to put us in this position of wearing fine linen, bright and clean, spotless, really spotless. When the Lord makes a promise, he does fulfill the promise. He's not a man to lie. When he says that he's going to take good care of us, he does. Most of the times, we are the one who start doubting of his promises. Our faith becomes shaken. And it will be as if God is unable to look after us. God is unable to heal us. God is unable to provide for us. Simply because we have opened the door to doubt. And doubt is not of God. He does fulfill all his promises. He's able when we make ourselves ready, when we are preparing ourselves. The song we sang here, we mean the song. Even if we were addicted to any addiction that you can name, drug, alcohol, cigarette, womanizing, or whatsoever, he will free us because we are available and willing to change. We are taking seriously our preparation for that very day. When we go back to the first scriptures that we read, Satan, seeing that he doesn't anymore have the place in God's presence because of his pride, he came down with the decision to destroy. And those scriptures told us that he's shaking nations. Nations, kingdoms are trembling before him. He's not really joking. And with him, he's taking all those who are willing, opening a door to him. He's not crossing his hand. And those who have understood that for them to enjoy the kind of life they want to have here on earth, they have to give their hearts to Satan, they are not also messing around. They are taking seriously the devotion to the devil. And indeed, they are succeeding in what they are doing here on earth. In the meantime, among us who chose to live for the Lord and only for the Lord, we are taking things carelessly. When we meet to worship the Lord, our songs are being transformed into a show. Those who are conducting worship, those who are singing, are very conscious of themselves than the Lord to whom they are singing to. And as preachers, when we are preaching, we are so conscious of ourselves. How we sound. Is the verb placed in the right place? Is the grammar correct? The syllogism or whatsoever, the style that we're using, is it really creating a wow factor to the congregation listening to us? We are so conscious about ourselves. And if I was wearing a tie, I can even be conscious that my tie is going aside. I will make sure that I put it back again in good place. Because God is not so present in us when we are in church doing what we have to do for the glory of the Lord, and we miss the point. We miss the preparation. But don't get me wrong, there is always a rest. A small number of people who have understood what they are doing, why they have chosen the Lord, and they are making a difference. You might not see them on television. You might not hear the names all over the places that they are big Christian gospel stars or big preacher or they have a big congregation or this or that. But when they meet, they know what they are doing. Like Pauline said, let's sing to him, not to us. She knew what she was talking about. She knew what she was talking about. Our preparation. We've seen a lot. An opportunity of preaching is given to a preacher. He starts thinking about the envelope of ministry gifting that will be given to him. Even if the word given to him by the Lord is a tough, a harsh word, he will water that word. He will water it down because the mind is on the envelope. Not to the mission the Lord gave him. I know two people who went to Strasbourg and they didn't go to get the envelope. They were not expecting the envelope. Musicians, they got even the envelope more than them. And they came back rejoicing because the mission was done. Not the envelope, but the mission. But it's something that you don't have just to do once. As long as you are breathing, your preparation has to continue. If it's death that will take you, then, praise the Lord, you were prepared. Or if it's the coming of the Lord, praise the Lord, you are prepared. How prepared? How to prepare. It's all about intimacy with God himself. It was covered here when Bishop was talking. It's about intimate relationship with God. All about intimate relationship with him. Those two scriptures that you see on the screen, Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 and 24. In Genesis it says, I just put there a few. This is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Take my flesh, melt away, die away. Jesus, come into me and cause your light shine through me. Cause me and you, Jesus, we become one. Let my flesh melt away. It's all about relationship. And the image the Lord is giving us in the scriptures, it's about marriage. Man and woman coming together. There you see a commitment. That therefore a man shall leave his father and mother. He shall leave. There is a movement there. We see some marriages being destroyed because one of the two did not leave. The father-in-law, mother-in-law, or in the African context, the uncle, have a strong hand on that marriage. Is ruling. So instead of doing what will please the one who is meant to be one flesh with you, there is a powerful voice above you. Your mother, your father, your uncle, your cousin, your sisters, your brothers. To be intimate with God himself. Ephesians talks about the same thing. For we are members of his body, who? Christ. Of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Jesus, come into me. Let your life shine through me. Cause my flesh life melt away. That's our prayer today. Why? Because we become one with him. And when we become one with him, our desires will change. Our needs will be monitored by him or motivated by him. Of course, we're still in this world and living in this flesh. The battle will always be there between our flesh and our spirit. But being one with Jesus, because we have opened our heart to him, he will help us to live a life of victorious people over this flesh. Because we are one with him. May the Lord help us. How are we preparing ourselves? Let that song continue to ring in your heart. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. At the end of this message, I will ask Bill to play it again for us to pray. To pray through that song. I've taken a quote written by this lady, Aleister Crowley. She is a Satanist. She had experience with the devil himself. And this is a quote she wrote that Satan himself said in her encounter with the devil. Ah, I will reach up to the knees of the Most High and tear his phallus with my teeth, and I will break his immortal and make poison thereof to slay the sons of men. I will have prevailed against the kingdom of the Father and befooled his beard. I will prevail against the kingdom of the Son, a ton of, but against the kingdom of the Holy Ghost shall I strive and not prevail. It's deep. This quotation is taking us to something that is happening in our country today. The Olympic Games. The Olympic Games that cause many people to be prepared, to sweat, to break bones, for them to be successful. If me and you, we count in ourselves to be part of the body of Christ, and that day to be counted as the bride of Christ, it's a must. We have to prepare ourselves. Satanist, according to the Greek mythology, they worship Zeus, whom they consider the mighty one. Like us, we consider Yahweh or Jehovah like the mighty one. For them, it's just the opposite. Because that's what the devil does. He's best at that. Whatever God does, he do it on his in his own way. So, according to the Greek mythology, the mighty ones, fellas, that is used when they say, they're talking about the phlegm, were chopped off by the other god, the one that they themselves now consider as Satan, Prometheus. He stole the phlegm of Zeus, of the mighty one, and gave it as a gift to the mankind, to humanity, for the mankind to get knowledge and understanding of how no longer to do the will of God, but to do man's own will. Prometheus, when you do your research, he's the one that pagans, Satanists call Satan, Lucifer, Azazel, the torchbearer, the giver of fire to mankind, the flame of the Olympic. Many people were so excited across Britain, Great Britain, when the Olympic torch was passing in the town. In the ignorance, for them, they know it's an event. It's something special that our country has the opportunity and privilege for the third time to organize the games. Mothers, children, fathers, everybody in Sheffield went on the street. That day, I went to university and the road over there was blocked because of the Olympic flame, the Olympic torch that had to pass through my city, Sheffield. People celebrating, they don't even know what the Olympic Games are all about. What is the origin? What is the purpose of it? But here, we have the opportunity and privilege to know. The Olympics is the commemoration of Prometheus' theft of fire from Zeus and its gift to humanity. That's what it's all about. For that reason, you see that flame being lit throughout the Olympic Games. Because he's there. He's present there. He's the one being commemorated, being worshipped for that gift of magical knowledge he gave to humanity. I was on Facebook and I saw this friend of mine. He's an Anglican reverend. He wrote a poster on his wall talking about how the ceremony was wonderfully done, which is the truth. The wow factor was there. And as the simple man could see, The history of Britain was stressed. The life of Britain was stressed there. And the focus was on the industrial revolution. So everything was there that ignorant people will look at and say, wow, this is life in Britain. From then to now. But the enlightened ones who knew what Olympics was all about and what was going on, they could see in all the scenes that they were put together everything that was going on and understand the message. My focus here is on the preparation that was done for that success to be obtained. Is the church preparing itself for what is coming? The bride, is it preparing herself? Is she preparing herself? That's the question the Lord is asking us today. If briefly I have to talk about few things, when you Google the World Tree, you will understand the presence of that mountain that was created there and the tree that was there. According to the mythology and what Satanists believe, we don't have just this one world. There are nine worlds. All the nine worlds are joining together at that world tree. It's very significant in occultic world. Very meaningful. You will understand also the person who read the book, you know her, the author of Harry Potter. It was curious to see how they presented the NHS, they present children, and then they brought demons when the reading was done. Demons came and stuff and stuff. You saw everything. Was it by chance? Or was it just to tell the story, as a simple man will say that, yes, the author of Harry Potter is British. The creator of World Web is British. Any interpretation you can give to it. Those who have read stuff of Freemasons and are acquainted to Freemasonry literature will tell. The costume, the dances that those entrepreneurs were doing, I wonder when in the English culture Kung Fu have been part of the culture here. Those moves of Kung Fu. Freemasons will tell you the meaning of those Kung Fu moves. Because, as I can recall, it's not part of the English culture. So, spiritually, something deep and very significant was being done. John Dee, a notable magician who, according to the history, he was the spy to the Queen Elizabeth I and the original 007. Now you can also understand 007 joining with the Queen. Yes, 007 is English. The Queen is English. What more can you ask for? We're showing to the world that all this is part of England. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. So my point here is that when the church is snoring, sleeping, those who are on the other side are not sleeping. They are doing the work of the master. They are preparing themselves for that day because they know and they are convinced that the Armageddon war, they're going to win. And now we are in the camp of the loser. God will lose. They are so convinced with that. And they are doing all that they can. And that's how this woman could hear the devil himself doing that proclamation. That I will ascend and I will chop it. Well, the flame, that flame that for 16 days will be there in the Olympic Stadium. For it to come here, you've seen everything. 11 women representing virgins there in Olympia did a ceremony, a special ceremony, for the torch to be lit and passed on to the host country of the games. Do you think it was just a joke? No. Are you preparing yourself? How many souls are you winning to the Lord? I heard Leona, it's not Leona Lewis, the other Lewis athlete, I can't remember her first name. And Amir Khan talking about the Olympics, how the success is all to the Olympics. Without the Olympics, they couldn't be able to provide for the families the way they do. They couldn't be successful the way they are. It's true. It's not a lie. Anything that money can name, they are able to provide for it. Now the problem is, by giving that testimony, every person who's broke and has ability will have the Olympics as the door that will cause them to be successful as well. They are sharing the testimonies. As we heard here, Bishop talking that, prepare yourself. I love the way he put it. Prepare your testimony. Repeat, rehearse your testimony. Don't just come for the sake of talking in the church. Okay, my testimony is this one. No! Prepare yourself. Take it seriously. Because according to his word, that testimony can save souls. And will save souls. I know that this word is somehow harsh. But I know also where I'm sharing this message. It's not a message that I can share everywhere. When you join a church, it's a must. Know the vision of the senior minister. And as a preacher, before you join hands and forces with an existing church, know the vision and the mission. It's not a message to share in a church where the senior minister has not been given a mission to shake the ground. to put right things that are going astray. That's why I have this freedom to share this message with you. What about you? May the God help us. May the Lord help us. I was looking at all my times here in England. And looking how many souls since I've been in England, since 1995, how many souls have I brought to the Lord? Have I introduced in the kingdom of God? I felt ashamed of myself. I'm not a failure, because I'm coming back to the Lord and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. But I have to be willing to pay the price. With love to share God's message to everyone. Someone can come here and see an empty seat. The natural man will say, what the leadership is doing. But the real question is not what the leadership is doing. What are you doing as member of this church? Winning souls is not only for the leadership. We heard it here. Bishop mentioned it. It's my responsibility. It is your responsibility. How many souls have I won since I joined this church that the Lord has added to our number? How many souls have you won that because of you, the work that you did, the Lord has added them to our number? We can continue to feel cozy as every Sunday we come, and the Lord in his faithfulness is always in our midst. We have proof of this every Sunday, every Wednesday. We can be comfortable like that and not reach out to the lost. Not share this salvation we have to others. As we heard, next year will be the same number again. Because what we are receiving here, we are not fully sharing it with others out there. Who are we going to blame? Andrew? Because he's a senior minister? Or do we have all to take responsibility? All of us. In fact, the leadership is busy preparing what they have to share with us. It's more our responsibility, what we receive here, we go out there and we share with others. When others see the light of Christ shining through us, then we say, wow, Christine, something new that I never seen in you is there. What is it? I want it. I want it. What I see in you. You used not to be like this. You are a special person. I want what is in you. It's more our responsibility than the leadership responsibility. So, how many people do you want to see in our church this time next year? How many people do you want to see filling those empty seats this time next year? Or after receiving this message, we'll go home, enjoy our tea, make sure that our mortgages pay off, make sure that our jobs are secure, and next Sunday we come again. I will sing, of course, "Jesus, take me as I am." What we had here, that maybe just 4 messages a year are enough, it's the truth. Don't take it personal. I'm not attacking anybody, and this message is not meant to upset anybody. But that's the message the Lord gave us for me and you today. We have to stand up and take seriously our engagement with the Lord and enter into that intimate, personal relationship with our Lord. Let's stand up. Bill, help us. We're going to sing that song.
Jesus, take me as I am. I can't come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life die away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finally whole. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Jesus, take me as I am. I can't come no other way. Take me deeper into you. My flesh life die away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finally whole. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Jesus, take me as I am. I can't come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life die away.
If you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, like while we are singing, approach the altar and we'll all pray together. If you feel that urge in your spirit to rededicate yourself to Him or to give your love to Jesus, approach the altar. The Lord is in our midst. He's here, ready to take you as you are, transform you, give you the strength that you have been struggling to have, for you to live a life that is above all the fleshly desires. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. A precious stone, crystal clear and finally whole. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you. Crystal clear and finally whole.
Those who are serving the devil are not messing around, as I said. 27 million people watched the Olympic opening ceremony all over the world. They have tuned to BBC. 27 million people. 22.5 million have tuned to BBC for 4 consecutive hours. They didn't move to go elsewhere, but they were tuned 22.5 million for 4 hours. But we struggle to spend time in God's presence. To spend even alone 30 minutes in God's presence sometimes, it's a mountain to climb for many Christians. But for 4 hours, 22.5 million were there watching the Olympics. In total, 27 million. Our responsibility is huge. And alone, we will do nothing. Nothing to impact this world. We need the Lord. We need Him. And we need Him now.
Jesus.
We need Him now to impact this small city, Doncaster, where He has placed us. Even if we are unable to shake the world, but we have the potential to shake Doncaster, but only with Him. Only with Him. And today is the day. Today is the very day to be empowered. To be empowered. When we come out of here, Doncaster has to know that Jesus is alive. He's the Savior. And life is meaningless without Him. Bishop, lead us in prayer, please.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You that You are so interested in each and every one of us. And that You care for each and every one of us. And Father, You love the world, but You hate the sin. And Father, we pray that we would have Your love. And for our friends and for the rest of the world, Lord, that we know who is dying, going to a lost eternity because they don't know You. Father, I pray, Lord, that there would be a flame that is lit within our own lives, that will continue to burn. That flame would be the flame of the Holy Spirit. And that Your flame, O God, would just shine out from us. And Father, that, Lord, nothing will put the flame out. No hindrance, no circumstance, no doubts, no fears. No self-righteousness, Father. But we shall let that flame burn. And that, Father, it shall burn within us, Lord, and we shall touch the lives of others. And as we touch the lives of other people, a flame will begin to burn in their lives, Father. Father, Your word tells us, he that winneth souls is wise. Father God, help us to be wise. Help us to be soul winners. Help us, O God, to win men and women into Your kingdom. For if we don't, Father, they go to a lost eternity. They go to a death of torment. And Father, I pray that, Lord, You would give us the ability, the power. You've given it to us, Father. Cause us to move in that realm right now. Give us the confidence, O God. Give us the boldness by the power of Your Spirit. That we would move in that realm to win souls for You. And to declare that our God reigns. That our God is a healing God. That our God is a delivering God. That our God is a mighty God. That our God sets captives free, heals the sick, and He raises the dead. Hallelujah. And this is the Jesus. This is the God that we serve. And Father, I pray that you would move amongst us in great power. Father, you'd cause us to have a greater confidence in you. Mm. And Lord, let that confidence build within ourselves, O God. Mm. That, Lord, we would rehearse the word time after time after time. Mm. And Father, we would see the word bringing life and light into people's lives. And Lord, let us bring them into your house to teach them the things of the kingdom, to teach them the power of the word, and to teach them relationship with you, Father. We just ask this, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Let this word, Lord, not fall to the ground, but Lord, let this word bring forth life. Let this word bring life. Let this bring a harvest. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.